What were the redeeming qualities of the show last night, Pollyanna? Ellen?
The unconditional love of Pollyanna.
I think that's an interesting word to use, but I don't think it applies there.
All right.
Why do you think unconditional love applies to Pollyanna?
She went around spreading her pixie dust of love everywhere where she went, and everybody loved her because she was pure love.
But what makes you think that she was unconditional love? Unconditional love is love that's given without any condition. She was giving love to those people because she was conditioned to do that by her parents, by her family, by the missionary father that she had, to find the good in everything. And he taught her to do that. But now, was that unconditional love, or was that conditioned love?
It came natural to her. She was probably, she was taught it, but it came natural. It was natural.
If it comes natural, we aren't taught.
Oh.
Well, she was encouraged.
You see, when you're taught something, then it's conditioned love.
Well, then we would never learn unconditional love.
That's right. You'll never learn unconditional love unless you go within yourself and find it.
Yeah.
What is unconditional love?
Love without condition, without any expectation.
Why did she go around delivering those jars of fruit? She was told to do by her Aunt Polly, right?
Yeah.
She had to go and do it. She was told to do it. And she was told that this is their charity cases, and these people are people who need to have these things, as though that stuff did them any good, you know. And what did she say when somebody objected?
It's not charity, it's from a friend, to another friend.
You're my friend, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see, is that charity ever? Yes, it can be. Even from a friend, it can be charity if you think the person needs it. Now, do you think that Pollyanna felt that these people needed that dumb stuff that they brought to them? I wanted soup. I wanted this. You know, I wanted that. You know, they didn't need those things. And what did the old man do? Threw it in the trash. You know? Even though it was a friend. But he got the first step of the message, you know. Now, why do you think that anybody else, do you think Pollyanna was unconditional love? Why do you think she was unconditional love? Yeah?
Because she was herself. She was herself. And loving herself. And so everyone else lovable.
Well, what did she do with her life? What was her little sprick word, her conditioned word?
Glad game.
Her glad game. She was trying to make something glad out of every experience. Now, first she experienced the thing as not glad. And then she said, now I'm going to make something glad out of it. Now, I'm only trying to tell you, and you're fighting me very strongly, she did not have unconditional love. She had conditional love, and it's okay. It's okay. You guys, you don't even know what unconditional love is. You don't know what giving love, regardless. The only person you know how to love unconditionally is Rex. You know? Because Rex comes up and he nuzzles you, and you just have to melt, you know. Now, that's unconditional love. Now, do you do that with everybody else in the world, too? Do you do that with your mom and your dad and your sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and cousins and husbands and wives and stuff like that? No. Everything is a condition. That's my husband. So, therefore, I have a special love for him. That's my wife. Therefore, I have special love. That's my child. You know, I have a special love. But unconditional love, there's nothing special about it. It is just totally, freely, openly, like Rex, coming up here and just bubbling over with love, just dancing around, chasing his tail, saying, I'm so happy to be with you guys, I'm so happy, you know. That's love. That's love. How many of you run around chasing your tail and saying, I'm so happy to be here, you know? You don't. But why don't you?
Because I have no tail.
Well, I can tie a tail on for you. But essentially, what is it?
Happy.
It's
spontaneous happiness.
What is it?
Just being happy. Being myself. And having fun.
Right. You almost didn't get that out. Being yourself and having fun is being unconditionally loving.
Hey.
Really?
Yeah, that's a cool definition, yeah.
I'm sorry?
That's a cool definition.
Yeah, yeah. Being yourself and having fun is unconditional love because there's no condition to it. You're just being yourself. Now, what do you return to?
Original purity and integrity.
Which is being yourself and having fun. Whose original purity and integrity is that? It's yours. Mm-hmm. It's not mine. It doesn't do me a bit of good to have you have your original purity and integrity. Because you can look at me and you can see me fantastic, you know. And I'm fantastic in your eyes. But I look at myself and I say, wah, you know. We can't change the world. We can only change ourselves. No, we don't change ourselves. We can only be ourselves and see the world however we choose to see it, you know? Now, eating is a dirty job. I had some, what was I eating here? It's so messy. I was eating something.
Jam.
An orange. Oh. I got orange juice all over my hands and all over my hands. I was peeling it, you know. It's just a messy, messy, glicky. And eating is a messy job. Somebody's got to do it. Right?
Yeah. Yes. So I sacrifice myself.
I sacrifice myself for eating. But you see, make it a joy. And instead of saying, but, no buts, hey, that's the way it is. I don't mind. And I got up, and I went to the bathroom, and I washed my hands, and I was done. I was all clean again. I wasn't sticky anymore. And it was kind of nice. And here I have, Rex was so happy to see me the other day, and he put his claw up on my wrist here, and he got blood on my wrist, you know, he opened up my skin. Ah! And so I came across like this, and I touched my shirt.
It's still there.
And the blood is still there. Now this is 3 weeks that I've put in the wash, three times it's been, you know, washed and washed and washed, and three times the blood is still there. Now, that blood, every time I look at it, I say, how did I do that? Oh yeah, Rex. You know, oh, that's my love. Oh, that's my rest. And, you know, am I unhappy? I took off a dirty shirt that had some spots on it from jelly or something, you know, and I put on this dirty one, you know. But this one is a clean, dirty shirt. It's been through the laundry. And it's wonderful. But isn't life great? And being myself and having fun. Have you ever heard of such a clown as me? Going around sharing and talking and being. And I like me. I have a lot of fun in life. And I don't really care if people like me or don't like me. Because as far as I'm concerned, everybody loves me. Everybody loves me to pieces. Everybody thinks I'm just the most wonderful person to have around. They think I just brighten up their life, you know. Some people even call me the sunshine of their life. Who's that? She's wise, isn't she? Yeah. So we call ourselves the sunshine of life, and that's what we want to be. Now, what was another redeeming quality of last night's movie, Pollyanna?
How the old man turns up from this special man who was not so nice with the boy and Pollyanna. And then later on, he adopted the boy.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a story, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, this is a true story, mm-hmm. Pollyanna. Yes. And it is written from a book and sort of condensed a lot of things into a small space. Mm-hmm. But, the old man was living in himself and yes. Living sort of a retired professor-ish life.
Yes.
And the children in the neighborhood bothered him. Because what did the children in the neighborhood do to that man? It made him think young. And he didn't want to think young. He didn't want to think kid stuff, you know. He didn't want to think having fun. He didn't want to think, you know, doing nice things. He had a nice home, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, very nice. He had nice gadgets in his home too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But what did Pollyanna do? She saw magic in his home that he had never seen. In all his days of walking around, looking at the floor, and looking at his slippers as he walks around, you know. Yeah. Even went out in his garden with his slippers on.
Mm-hmm.
And in his garden were statues and beautiful other things that were all overgrown. But what was the magic that he had in his garden?
That beautiful tree.
A beautiful climbing tree that was just made for boys and girls. Just made for boys and girls. Now, did you notice how all the little ends were gathered together at the end of the show?
Mm-hmm.
All the little love affairs were settled, yeah, and all the little spaces were made. I was very surprised at the end of the show that she did not let her hair down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
if she had let her hair down at that point, you know, when he said,
yes,
I want you, it would have made all the difference. It was shown that she had made full cycle, you know.
And you know, I really always thought that she did it.
No, she
didn't. She only did it there in front of the mirror.
Yeah, right, right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that was it. Well,
that was simple enough, I think.
Yeah, well, it was simple enough. But the thing is, I was sort of waiting for that.
Yeah.
I was watching her
me too,
to see if she was going to really
break
let through.
Go.
Because then she'd be before the whole community as a lovely lady rather than a spinster, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the doctor will knock some sense into her.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. But what other redeeming quality did you find in last night's film?
Well, one of the redeeming factors I found yesterday in the movie was that I cannot call anything bad, because what happened to Pollyanna when she fell down was a catalyzing action for her aunt, and without that, I'm not sure in the human sense, you know, in the sense of the illusion, if she would have woken up. And so it was a real blessing.
But those are things you wanted to happen.
Yeah, sure.
See,
those
are things you wanted to happen. Now, Pollyanna did not have to do anything. That could have been a spark in some other way. It could have happened
in
many ways, yeah.
I know.
Without being dramatic.
Yeah, without being dramatic, yeah. And the thing is, Pollyanna could have just slipped and fallen a little bit, not hurting herself at all, but screaming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then her aunt running out there with that compassion, you know.
Yeah.
She wanted to break out of her shell, you know.
Yeah.
And we all want to break out of our shell. And each one of you are in a shell right now. And I would like to see, by the time the seminar is over, you're out of that shell. But the shell that you're in is one of self...
Self-righteousness.
Yeah, yeah. Not self-discipline. Yeah,
self-pity.
Pity. Oh, how true. How true. Self.
Thank you.
You need to hear that, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
But you see, those things keep you from being the beautiful beings that you are, because you wear it like a mask, and people can never get close to you. And let people get close to you. It doesn't mean you have sex with people. Let people get close to you. Let people into your world. Let people into your life and into your heart. And by doing that, you have to open your heart and let your heart out. Let your life out. And start seeing everybody as beautiful as you are. Because as long as you see anybody in the world who's a pain in the neck to you, you know, or a headache, anybody else doing something that makes you unhappy, that's you. That's you. That's all of your little spitefulness, your little poisons, your little stupidness inside you that are still hanging out there. But when you start loving, like Pollyanna, she went to a lot of places, you know, and she loved. And what did Nancy change?
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes, yes. And did her boyfriend change? Yes, yes, yes. And was Pollyanna a little user? Mm-hmm. Was she manipulating Nancy and her friends and everybody, she knew what she was doing. She wasn't stupid. I mean, she was raised by a very wise daddy to run the show. But fortunately, she was raised with a happy attitude,
mm-hmm.
and that's beautiful.
Yeah, like she did with the minister.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, he was ready to wake up too, but it was a beautiful job. And I think the statement, does anyone own a church? I think that was something that's put out to the world. Because many of the priests and ministers think that that's their church, they own it, and the people who come there are, their children, their flock, as they've been taught, this is my flock, this is my church, my congregation. And it's not. Why is a minister in a church at all?
To minister to himself.
Yes, but the minister is in the church to be an organizer or coordinator of the thinking of the people in a path. He is not to be superior and not to stand up in front of them and be their big leader, their big honcho, He is, if he wishes, to speak from the pulpit, but he should be one of the people. I've always attempted to get down on the same level as my congregation. I've done away with pulpits. I've done away with everything that I could so that I could be down. And then sometimes I'd get off the platform, and then they'd all look at me and say, "You're up there, you're supposed to be up there on the platform, You're supposed to be up there speaking." But I don't bother. I have my microphone remote in the days that I still had that, and it sent that to my tape recorder. And again, I was totally in charge. And remember how Evelyn John was in that time in the church? She was up in the front, leading the group. And then she got up and decided she's going to walk around her church. And so she had her lapel mic on. And as she walked around, her voice boomed everywhere, because she had the mic on real strong. And it was just like, you are wonderful, and she went around that congregation. What a magnificent example of a show.
It was a good show.
But they love her. And do you love yourself? Why do they love Evelyn John?
Because she loves herself.
She likes herself.
She thinks she's pretty nice. And we went to her office after the service several times. Every time, everybody eats downstairs. Everybody eats in the recreation room, They have serving for everybody. Well, she took me into her office with her daughters, and I sat in the chairs before her desk, and she kept her robe on. She kept her robe on, and she sat there eating with her robe on. And I thought, you are a cool lady, you are something. She's playing the role, and she's enjoying it. And I thought to myself, you are something special, really. And what happens if she spills some food on her robe?
She has so many there, I mean.
You're right. But she just loves her game. She loves her role, and she does it beautifully. And the people love it. Now, Ellen, what does she say to the people? She tells them they're God. Remember?
Okay.
No?
Yes.
You said okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Well, no, she does. She tells them they're God.
Yeah.
And what does Gwendolyn Egerton say to her congregation?
I'm God, God I am.
And then she says, you're God. Remember that. I'm God, God I am. And Gwendolyn Egerton is a great lady.
Great lady.
90-some years old, yeah. And when she gets up and speaks, that whole church trembles. But that's because she lives it.
She's the boss.
She lives it, and she likes herself. And everybody respects her. They respect her as the grand dame, The grand...
queen.
The queen mother,
Yes.
The queen and then the queen mother. And then I wonder if they ever had a queen mother. Three generations of queens in there. Wouldn't that be something? But you see, when you like yourself, all these things work out so beautiful, don't they? And life is so wonderful, isn't it? You're great. You're fantastic. Take a pause and we'll come back for our morning discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.